out there say amen. Amen. Let me get your Bibles to be turned open today to the book of 1 John. 1 John, we'll start off here at chapter 1. I got a message that I've been preparing for that I think will be an encouragement to you. I think will be a blessing to you. Please find your place in the Word of God, First John, chapter number 1. Now this is right before you get to the book of Revelation. 1 John, chapter number 1. I do want to say thank you to everyone who has been hanging in there with us. I know it's been difficult. It's definitely been different. But God has used the change, and I think in a lot of good ways. And I appreciate the church's faithfulness and people continuing to give and continuing to meet the needs here at home. And I want to say thank you to those who have been able to pray for us and pray for our Meals for Medics. We were able to accomplish some good things there. I'd like to see that continue to go and grow. I have seen some donations come in, and if you'd like to contribute to that, that's still going. I'd like to do something for our local folks here at home and see if we can't feed them some hot meals. I know we did the fifth floor of the Hart Memorial Hospital, and that was successful. Sister Casey made a great donation there in the name of LaRue Baptist Church and Jesus Christ to feed Signature Healthcare here locally, and so that was a blessing. And then, but we'd like to see it continue. We'd like to do some things for our fire department, our police folks, and for our emergency medical staff, and maybe set up a booth here and do some drive-through feeding and handing out some hot food to them. Practicing social distancing there. But I'd like to do that in the name of Jesus Christ. We hand them a nice gospel tract that has some scripture promises in there about peace. And they need that right now. They need the peace of God, and they need to have peace with God by being saved. And so we're able not only to feed them in the name of Jesus Christ, but we're able to give them gospel literature in the name of Jesus Christ that they might be saved and might be encouraged. And so if you'd like to help us to minister our first responders here at the LaRue Baptist, you can do that, as Brother Stewart announced, by visiting our church Facebook page at www.larubaptist.com. And just click on the word give there, and then follow the prompts, and you can neatly and conveniently do that. And also, you'll get the receipt there for your tax purposes. I do have some a big thanks to go out to our ladies who are preparing to make some masks. We got some ladies who are gifted with sewing, and they are going to come together and make some masks for, we're going to see where we want to donate them. I've reached out to some missionaries, and I'm hoping that they'll get back to us and let us know so we can help our missionaries in Scotland, our missionaries in the Philippines, missionary in Nigeria, you know, wherever the need is, we want to be there for our missionaries. Amen. Amen. So I appreciate the ladies. I know Sister Carolyn, Sharon, and Karen are stepping up to the plate with that. And so if you'd like to get on board with that, let me just encourage you. I don't know how to sew, but Karen does, and Sharon and Carolyn. Reach out to these sisters in the church, and I'm sure we can get some more hands and helping hands to make this possible. And so we're preparing to make 50, 60 masks, and we'll see if we can't make more as the Lord will provide. So thank you, church, for being faithful. Thank you for being true. And I want to encourage you to stay with it. Don't get discouraged. We're all in this together. God has, like the song said, because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Our Bibles are open now to 1 John chapter number 1. The message that I want to deliver to you today is L is for love. L is for love. Now last Wednesday night we preached on K is for kingdom, because we're going through the ABCs of the Christian life. And I'm trying to deduce from Scripture some of the most cardinal, foundational, basic truths, all the way from assurance to love, from A to L, that we're at the L right now. And I think that these topics and subjects are worth us learning a little bit about. Amen. So we're going to learn it from the apostle of love. John is the apostle of love. He is distinctly the apostle of love. Many of his writings, it's John that says that God is love. It's John that said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. John was very much, he's called John the Beloved, the Beloved. And so you look at Peter, you may think him to be the apostle of hope, because that's Peter who says that we have a lively hope. And so Peter is distinctly the apostle of hope. And Paul being the apostle of faith. James may be called the apostle of works. And God used all these apostles and all these New Testament writers to give us a presentation of doctrinal truth under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And our life is not quite complete if we have works, but we don't have faith. Amen. Our life is incomplete if we have hope, but we don't have love. Amen. So God wants us to be people of love. L is for love, friend. Now, it's in 1 John that you have these old five chapters here. And in these five chapters, the apostle is writing to the church, and he's trying to help believers to be the Christians that God's called them to be. And so he talks about different topics and different things. But one of the things, like I said, he can't help but do it, is to talk about love and genuine love, authentic love, true love versus false and fake love. And this world has a lot of false and fake love, don't it? God needs people that'll be those that have true godly love. It's in John, 1 John, that he says in chapter 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." It'd be good for us to stop and dwell and behold and look and spend some time in our busy lives to stop what we're doing right now where we're at and just behold the love the Father has bestowed upon us. We did not deserve God's love. We are not lovely at times. In fact, sometimes we're not at all lovely. We're altogether unlovely. But God bestowed a great love upon us. Every day He lets us live. Every day He lets us breathe. Every day He lets us enjoy our tools and our toys and our technology. Every day God lets us enjoy His green earth. Hey, my friend, God has bestowed great love on us. And it'd be good for us to stop and spend some time dwelling in beholding the great love God has bestowed on us. Sometimes we don't feel too loved of God. That's why He says, behold. You got to stop to behold something. You can't just keep driving by and you want to behold something. Park your car, my friend, and dwell on the subject that God gave up heaven. He gave up Jesus Christ for you to be saved. And He was nailed to the cross, was buried. Then on that third and appointed day, rose again to give you life and life more abundantly, my friend. God's given you joy. He's given you peace. And He's given you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What love God has bestowed on us, my friend. Wow. Praise God for His amazing love. But God expects us to love Him in return, doesn't He? He says, this is the greatest commandment, that you love the Lord thy God with all the heart, soul, and mind, and strength. I could preach 1,000 sins, but if I just preached that one, we would all become guilty because we do not love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and mind and strength as we should. And so that's what I want to talk to you today about. I want to talk to you about genuine, real, authentic Christian love. John is also the apostle who loves the number 7. And in the Bible here, there's 7 things that he says love really does and love really is. And the first one's in verse 6. He says, if we say, John 1:6, if we say, he says the same expression in verse 8, if we say, in verse 10, if we say, chapter 2, verse 4, he that saith, chapter 2, verse 6, he that saith, chapter 2, verse 9, he that saith, and then over in chapter 4, verse 20, if a man say, there are 7 things that he is teaching here. You can say it and make a profession. And John is telling us, it's not what you're saying, it's what you're doing.
Right.
Now let's look at these 7 things that he deals with. If we say that we have fellowship with him, 1 John 1:6, if you're there, say amen. Amen. If we say that we have fellowship with him, but walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. My friend, when God calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light, he intends for us to walk with him. He intends for us not only to walk with him, but praise God, to have fellowship with Jesus. And if you don't know what that is, you're really missing out, friend. That fellowship that Christ gives me, that joy and that peace and that contentment. Sometimes, my friends, when there's that 5 minutes of prayer, I can feel that fellowship overcome me. And then there's other times where I've got to battle a little while in prayer. It might pray 10 minutes and I feel that sweet presence of Christ. But there's other times where we got to pray for the whole hour, that sweet hour of prayer. My friends, some of us don't know what it's like to pray for a whole hour. When you just beg and plead with God in God's presence, begins to fellowship with you, and you have joy, and you have peace, and you're able to go back out into the world rejuvenated and filled full of faith and love and devotion with God. My friend, when you walk with God, you'll have fellowship with him, and you will not walk in darkness, but you will walk in the light. But when we say that we have fellowship with God, but walk in the darkness, he said, we lie and do not the truth. You can't say to me that I love God and that I love Jesus and I'm a follower of God and you're not having fellowship with him. You're not going to church. You're not even going to the drive-in church service. You're not even tuning in to the live stream. You ain't got fellowship with God. Why, you're always biting your nails. You're always in disarray. You're always deranged spiritually. You're living in darkness and you're not walking in the light. My friend, that's a false love. God is not seeking false lovers. He's not seeking false worshipers. He wants those that will come out of the darkness and walk in his marvelous, pure, and holy light. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Do you want to know why we're always out of step with our brothers and sisters in Christ? It's because we're out of step with Jesus. You want to know why you're always out of the step with the mission of the church? It's because you're out of step with the mission of Jesus. Why do I not have love and joy and peace like my brothers and sisters in Christ? Because you don't have Jesus where he should be in your life. When you walk in the light as he is in the light, he said, then you'll have fellowship one with another. Right. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's a level that you get of that cleansing power. Those that will come out of that darkness and walk in the light. You know what happens when we have false love here in this relationship we have with the darkness rather than having it with the light? We're not truly being honest in our love. And we're not being honest about others. If we say that we have fellowship with Christ, but we're walking in darkness, he said, we lie and do not the truth. Right. You can't hold hands with the devil and try to hold hands with God at the same time. Amen. Not going to work. That's fake and false love. And that is a lie that people give toward others. Now let's talk not about others, but let's talk about ourselves. Verse 8. If we say, this is the second time, Brother Stewart, they used this expression. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. A person may get to the point in their life where they don't necessarily say it, hey, I'm not a sinner by nature. I don't have the nature to sin or there's no indwelling sin principle in my life. Now, he didn't say if we say we have not sinned, because he says that later. He says if we say that we have no sin. And my friends, I want to be the first one in line to raise my hand and say, I know I have sinned. I know that I have an indwelling sin nature. I know that there is a battle all the time raging to try to get me to stop following God. There's always this constant drag. There's this constant pull to the right and a pull to the left. Brother, if it ain't pulling me to the left, then one day it's pulling me to the right. One day say, I don't have indwelling sin, then you're a liar, the Bible says, and you're deceiving yourself. Listen, that one of the greatest days in your and my life is where we realize and admit, I am a sinner. You have to be honest with yourself. And you know what the sad thing is? Some church folks just ain't honest with themselves.
Right.
Well, they think they're too good. They think they got to, they won't say that. Maybe they don't even know that they think that. But subconsciously, they don't think of themselves to be much of a sinner. But you are. And Christ died to pay for your sins and for my sins.
Right.
Just as much as he paid for the rapist, the drunkard, the abusers of themselves with mankind, the effeminate, just as much as God had bled and died for his own that crucified him on the cross, he died for your sin just as much as he died for mine. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Right.
True love towards God is honest with others, is honest with themselves. Number three, verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, Brother Stuart, that's the third time he says that now. We'll count them together, brother. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now notice he says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, that's the principle of indwelling sin, right? But over here, it's the practice of acts of sin. It's the actual committal of a specific act of sin. Now here's one thing to say, hey, I don't really need too much to pray. I don't need to go to the altar. I don't need to repent of my, I don't have indwelling sin. It's another thing to go to the next level and say, I've not sinned. I've not committed an act of sin. And my friend, that too is a lie in the sight of God. God sees everything. And friend, we can't pull the wool over God's eye. We can't sweep it under the rug. You and I may be able to peg and nail everybody else for their faults and wrongdoings. I wonder how God nails and pegs our faults and wrongdoing. We may be able to point out what he's doing wrong and what she's doing wrong. And by the grace of God, if it's in the Bible, then you better believe somebody's going to preach on it, amen. But what about our sins? I wonder how God deals with our sins and the things that we do and our bad attitudes and our unkindness towards our spouses and our failures towards our kids. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. See, now we've not only broken our relationship with others, not only are we breaking our relationship with ourselves, but now we're starting to break our relationship with God right here. Say, is it really that important that we realize we're sinners? Yes, because until you see how awful we really are without God's grace and help, we're never going to truly appreciate God's grace and help.
Right.
You know, the person today that's closest to death of the coronavirus, if they had the vaccine and the cure to make them immediately get better, if that person today on their deathbed were to be treated, to be cured, how precious would that treatment and that cure be to the one who needed it the most? No, doesn't the Bible say something about, what's the verse that says, to whom much has been forgiven, they'll love the most. And then the one that is least forgiven will love the least. And so there's a relationship here. When you stop and consider your sinful life, you're going to realize just how great of a Savior you really have God on your life. Number four. Coincidentally, this is in verse 4 of the second chapter. Here it is again. This is the fourth time, Brother Stuart.
Amen.
He that saith. I know him. Oh, I know God. I go to church. Or I know God. I know God. But keepeth not God's commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Right.
What's he saying here? Well, he's saying that a person can get to a place in their life where they make a profession, hey, I know God, I know Jesus, I know the Bible, but you don't keep his commandments, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. I feel like preaching just for a minute right here. I hope y'all out there listen carefully. Hey, you say, I love God and I know God, but you don't go honor the Sabbath. You're a Sabbath breaker, amen. You don't honor the Lord's day. You don't bring in your tithe into the storehouse. You don't pray. You don't read your Bible. You don't care if anybody dies and goes to hell. You're not giving to missions. Hey, friend, I'm preaching right now. You're a commandment breaker. You're a dishonest person in the sight of God. And a person that says, oh, I know God. But Brother Stewart, if he ain't keeping his commandments, the Bible says, not me, the Bible says he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. Oh, I know my wife. Well, you haven't been to the house in 2 years. Are you sure? Oh, I love my wife. Why, you don't wear a wedding band. Y'all listening?
Yeah.
Oh, I love my wife. Why, you haven't bought her any flowers in the past 10 Valentine's days. Begin to question whether you really love who you say you love.
Right.
And the same thing can be said of our relationship with God. I know him, says the professor of Christianity. But that professor does not keep any of the commandments. Now, this is a lie against Christ. Verse 6. Now, this is the fifth time he gives something, Brother Stewart.
Yeah.
He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. We say, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I love God. Yes, I'm a Bible believing. Yes, I pray. Yes, I read my Bible and I go to church and I honor the Sabbath. And my friend, I say that loosely to refer to the Lord's Day, and I'm not trying to split hairs on that, but that's how I'm using that word, my friends, a day of rest for the child of God. Listen now, we say that we are abiding in Christ, then we ought to walk as Christ walked. How did Christ walk? Why, when he's reviled, he doesn't revile back again. When he's slapped in the cheek and done a disservice, he offers them the other cheek as well. How many cheeks did Christ have? My friend, you start counting them up, that's a lot more than cheeks than you and I have. We'll give somebody just one little inch when God says you need to give them a little bit more than an inch. My friend, God is the one we should be following after, and he is the one that we should be doing and walking after, rather than walking after our own lust and our own ways. But we say, I'm going to do what I want to do. And then on one side of our mouth we say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. And then the other side of our mouth we're saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm abiding in Christ. Ain't nothing wrong going on with my life here. And God says, well, if you're making a profession that you're abiding in him, you should walk like he walked. When a brother asks for your clothes or a shirt, you ought to give him the coat off your back as well. Huh? When he says, go with me 1 mile, you ought to be willing to go a second mile. I'm preaching to myself today. You know, I was reading from my favorite preacher, Charles Spurgeon. I've been picking up some of his sermons again, reading through some of his volumes again. And I read a sermon the other day on declension from first love that he preached a couple hundred years ago. Declension from first love. From that verse that says, thou hast left thy first love. And in that sermon, he talked about how you know you've left your first love. Why, when somebody cuss around you, boy, it just boiled your bones, didn't it? You'd be quick to say, let's not talk like that. Or can we not use the Lord's name that way? Now we just go ahead and cuss right along with them, some of us. That's how you know you've left your first love. Why, when the ministry used to come on and the offering plate was come by, you may not have 2 mites on you, but you'd give what you had and didn't think twice about it. You were honored and blessed and pleased to give to the Lord's work. And I tell you, we have a good church here, and I'm not being mean to you, church. God has supplied richly through the giving of his people, but I want just to go ahead and bark and preach up a storm a little bit, just to let you know there's some preaching going on here today. That, listen, God is pleased with our generosity. God is pleased with our giving. But don't you remember when that offering plate would be passed around and it was so good for you to put in $20. It was so good to you to put in that $50. And then, man, God bless you a little more, it was good to put in $70. And now some of you are able to give in $100. And some of you maybe even give a little more every week as the Lord prospers. But then things change and God blesses you with more jobs and more money and a higher step up in the career, and now that $100 looks to be a little too big, and so you trim it on down so that you may be able to conserve a little bit of your finances. My friend, that's how you know you've left your first love. It seemed like when the preacher would get preaching, boy, you'd get stirred up in the Spirit. It seemed like, man, the Holy Spirit was sitting right there on you. It seemed like the angel Gabriel was standing over you, protecting you with the angels of God. And you listened to that preaching, and the tears rolled down your face, and your bones began to dance with joy when they talked about Jesus. But now you hardly even go to church. Now you hardly even read your Bible. Now when the preacher preaches, boy, it's offensive to you. Now we know that you too have left your first love. Boy, that got to convicting me, Stuart. I was reading on that, and man, I just said, boy, I just got through his introduction. I thought, I can't hardly handle this no more. This is starting to get good. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk. You say that you're a Christian. You say that you love God. But are you walking like Jesus? It's easy to talk a good game, but are you walking the walk, my friend? Number 6. Verse 9. This is the 6th time, brother. He that saith he is in the light. Oh, this is going to get quiet now. And hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that saith he is in the light. I've been born again. I'm a saved Christian. Well, I've even been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I've joined with the church. Praise the Lord. I'm in the light. But if he hateth his brother, he is in darkness.
Right.
Even until now. Is there hatred in our hearts? Then it ain't true love that we have towards God. It's not a perfect love. It's not very genuine. How can you say that you love God whom you have not seen and hate your brother whom you have seen? How is it, husband, wife, brother, sister? How can you have hatred so violent and so ready to pull up guns towards the brother whom you have seen and you don't even love them? How can you say you love God whom you haven't seen? We can talk it all day long, but God is looking for genuine love. God love, Jesus love, Christian love, Bible love. Are y'all still with me, church? He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. And lastly, chapter 4 and verse number 20. If a man say, I love God. Do you love God? Do you genuinely, honestly, and truly? If someone were to ask you today, do you love God? What would thy answer be? Would you be able to say, yes, I love God? If a man say, I love God. Stuart, that's the 7th time, if I'm not mistaken, the final time that that expression is used in this little epistle. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? See, I think this is not just applied to the Christian, but I think this particular reference is to our fellow man. Our fellow man. The first false profession was a dishonesty about others. Then a dishonesty about ourselves. Then a dishonesty towards God. Then a dishonesty towards Christ. And then a dishonesty to the world. And then a dishonesty to our brother. And now we get here to all. How can you say you love God and hate your brother whom you have seen? How is that possible? Friend, it's not genuine and true love. The love that we need is a God love. A Jesus love. A sacrificial love. Do you think Jesus every day that we wake up has ever stopped loving us? No. Every day and every night, millions of miles away, the sun is brightening and brightly shining and burning. Brother Stuart, do you ever get to thinking maybe the sun just don't want to shine today? He's been doing it for all these thousands of years. But every day God has given him a commandment. Every day God has said, thou shalt shine and thou shalt come no further than this. Thy heat should not be more than this. You shall stay within thy boundaries. Be faithful, O sun, thou great and mighty star of the Milky Way galaxy. And brother, don't you know that every day that sun has obeyed God and obeyed his every whip and will. It's an inanimate object, but he has never disobeyed God. There's stars that are floating in eternal blackness of space. And every day they sing and bring forth glory to God. And at night when the clouds are clear, we're able to look up and listen to their beautiful song and their hymn of praise. Have they ever disobeyed God? Hey, the sea, when that sea begins to froth and foam, if it wasn't for the boundaries of the sand, why, we'd all be drowned to death in the depths of the sea. But God has set a boundary there. And he said, thou shalt not come past this boundary. Thou shalt obey me right here. And thou shalt not come too far, lest thou be destroyed. And every time God says it, the sea obeys and stops where it's supposed to stop. The lion roars as the king of the jungle. The cheetah obeys the will of God and uses its speed to bring forth glory to its creator in the wild hunt. The sharks and the whales, they all obey the order. The ox knoweth his crib, and the ass knoweth his master's command. But Israel doth not know, saith the Lord. Israel disobeys and revolts against God. How is it that God can do all of these great things with these bigger things than you and me, sir? How is it that they obey him every day, thousands of years in a row? It never skips a beat, but my heart, oh, desperate thing that it is, how often God has to humble me. What kind of love should we give to God? What kind of devotion should we give to God? How great should our love be? Listen, friend, just make it genuine. Just be genuine with God. Don't just say, be. Don't just talk the game. Do it. You say that you love God and you ought to know all these rules and you know all these commandments, but you're a commandment breaker. Won't we just stop and just say, man, I'm not as genuine as I think I am. Well, have we prayed for revival? Have we prayed for souls to get saved? The preacher's begging and crying and pleading, help the church pray for souls to get saved. Hey, are you praying for souls to get saved? Why, you just whisper little 3-second prayers and all you can give? Is that all you can do? I'm not trying to be mean to you, friend. I'm trying to just try to get you to love God. I mean, that's it. Well, I'll do it when it's convenient. Or I'll do it. Well, does the sun shine when it's convenient? Even though the clouds seem to have their own schedule, they all obey the law of God. Hey, friend, do we obey the law of God? Well, I'll do it when it's convenient. I'm glad the Son doesn't do that when it's convenient. I'm glad Jesus doesn't love me when it's convenient. Well, I'll do it if I... You remember when you were first saved, Brother Stuart?
Yes, sir.
Brother, you wanted to get a Bible, and you stayed up until 3 o'clock in the morning. Son, you had almost half the New Testament read in one night. You had all these verses highlighted. You had all these things. You had to go out and get another one. You done ruined it. You done highlighted, look like a coloring book. Amen? Because you're so excited about the things of God. Now we don't even know where our Bibles are at. Huh? Have we left our first love? Have we left our first love? Men that used to come on prayer meeting time Wednesday night, even if we were lacking sleep, night we wanted to go to that prayer meeting to see souls get saved and see that preacher get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to see the pews be filled and see the church revived and see the missionaries sent forth with the prayers of the church. But now when the prayer meeting comes by, suddenly we're sitting on our TV watching Hallmark and Lifetime, amen, eating popcorn and eating chips. I'm telling you what I like doing. I'm preaching against myself. Have we not left our first love? You have an opportunity to serve in the nursery. Boy, you was glad. Maybe you didn't even have kids as a young saved Christian. You just wanted to step in and help out, whether that was helping in the ministry somewhere or another. If you were an usher in the church, you didn't have all the right clothes and dress the right way or whatever, but you had a desire to love God with all of your heart. And my friend, you may not even understood half the Bible. That's okay. Most of us don't anyhow. But you had a desire to live for God. And now the opportunity is there for you to serve. And where are you? You're serving over there at the devil's table. Or we're serving here at their table. Why aren't we serving at God's table no more? We need revival of our first love. I need revival of my first love. My love towards God is the thing that I need to get right. Huh? My love towards my Father in heaven. His greatest relationship. I need to get that right and restore to the Son of God. No wonder all these other lower relationships, Brother Stewart, are out of balance. Because this relationship is out of balance. You see how foundational love is, friend? We're preaching ABCs of the Christian life. You see how foundational this is to the Christian alphabet, to the Christian language? We don't need any more hypocrites. We don't need any more hypocritical. If a man say it, if a woman say, he that saith, why don't we just do it? Huh? Why don't we just be the church God's called us to be? Well, listen, I'm going to close here. You may not have the biggest, brightest, most popular love. God don't ask for that, does he? Genuine, honest, authentic love. We need that more than anything else. Our greatest devotion ought to be to God. Church, I want to ask you to pray with me. Let's stop what we're doing. Those that are still on Isaac, are we still doing our, is it still feeding on live? Church, I want you to stop what you're doing right now, and I want us to pray together. Let's pray that God would just get our love the way it should be. And listen, that may not happen. It'll certainly start tonight. Praise the Lord. We may get a little fire going tonight. But this is something that we need to do every single day. We need to, tonight, we need to pray some more tonight. Just keep going and keep digging and keep praying. You don't find gold by accident. You got to dig for it. Father, we ask that you'll just help our church, Lord, by helping me. Let that revival start with me, Lord. I want to get back to my first works. I want to get back to my first love. Lord, I was ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. I was so excited to live for God. Oh, God, I was preaching in prisons. Lord, I was intimidated, but I had more fear of God than I had a fear of man. Lord, I didn't care what other people thought. I just wanted to serve you. I wanted to live for you. I wanted to honor you with my life. God, some things have changed, haven't they? Time has a funny way of changing things. But Lord, the sun hadn't changed. The stars haven't changed. The earth is still doing what it's always been doing. The laws that govern life are still doing what they're supposed to be doing. And yet I am the one who is left. Left as the inexcusable. Lord, I have been changing. And not for the good. Lord, I ask, Father, tonight that you'd have my heart 100%. I dedicate my life unto thy care and keeping. Use me. Father, my life is in your hands. You have been faithful. You have been so good to me. And Lord, the least that I could do was enlist in the service of the King. Father, we pray for the church that a little revival, a great revival, would start right here tonight in this little prayer meeting while we're not even all together, but we are in spirit. Help us, Lord, to be true to Jesus. Help us, Lord, not to get corrupted, to be deceived, to be out of fellowship. Lord, but help us to keep our love of Jesus. Father, we've got to get a Bible. Father, if we have to order us a Bible, if we have to order us some sort of a journal, if we have to just determine and set aside time to pray, Lord, whatever it takes, again, Father, help us to get back to that love, whatever it takes kind of love. Lord, so we can have acceptance in the beloved once again. In Jesus' precious name, we pray these things in faith. Amen. Church, preacher loves you, and the whole point of this message is to inspire you, to challenge you, yes, to convict you. The Word of God did that, not me, to get you and me to love God the way He deserves to be loved. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. We'll see you later.